It's Border Crossings with Larry London from VOA 1.
Hi there. Welcome to the show. It's Thursday. You're listening to the Voice of America. I'm Larry London. We're live in Studio 4, and we will be joined today by a music legend who is promoting a brand new album called Not Too Far Away. Joan Armatrading is here in our studios, and she will join us live on the Voice of America. So hang around with us.
Go slowly when you close the door, and you leave me here by myself. How do I fill my days when I feel so sad that your warmth has gone away? I bite my lip to stop the tears, but the tears come anyway. I want you to stay. Everything, every single thing, everything I do because I love you. I'm not built to be alone, you know. I get anxious when I'm on my own. No need to be opposite sides of doors. No need to talk through walls. I hate that hollow stomach feel when you turn and walk away. I like it when we're together. I don't care if I'm selfish. I want you to stay. Everything, every single thing, everything I do because I want you to stay. Everything, every single thing, everything I do because I love you. I know I make you feel the guilt, and my reasons are emotional. But we can deal with all demons in that various appearance. Let's remind ourselves how far we come. Let us look at how we really feel. If we turn from each other, would we ever fall in love again? Ever fall in love again? Ever fall in love again? I like it when we're together. Single thing, everything I do because I love you. I like it when we're together. I don't care if I'm selfish. I want you to stay. Everything, every single thing, everything I do because I
Border Crossings, and indeed, you recognize that voice. You recognize the name. Joan Armatrading is here in the United States. She's promoting a brand new album, which is called Not Too Far Away. I Like It When We're Together is the name of that song. I like that song.
Thank you.
I like that song. And, you know, the sound, your sound has evolved over the years. You've done some jazz, some blues. There's been all kinds of different sounds for Joan Armatrading.
Yes. When I write, I usually write kind of whatever comes into my head. So on the albums, it could be a pop song followed by a blues song, followed by a jazz song, followed by a reggae song. And I would write like that all the time. And then in 2003, because I've always done my demos myself and I've always played everything on my demos. So in 2003, I thought this would be a good time to start playing on my records myself. So that's what I did. I've been producing myself since 80 whatever. Mm-hmm. But I thought, well, I'll start playing everything myself on 2003. And then 2007, I decided I would do a trilogy of blues, rock, jazz. So I made myself only write blues for the wow. Into the Blues album, then only write rock for This Charming Life, and then only write jazz for Starlight. And that was great because, as I say, I'm used to just jumping around however I feel. It doesn't mean that the album sounds strange. they still sound really good. So that was really nice. And then so I thought for this album, I would, and when I would write, I would write sometimes the words first, sometimes music first, sometimes both together on the piano, the guitar, a riff, whatever. This time I decided that I would write the words first, all the words, before I put any music together. So I did that. And then I think because of writing it in that way, it's given the album a kind of a threat. It's not a concept album, but when you listen to it, it has a theme, like a thread through it. And so the unusual thing about this is the songs, as they appear on the album, is the order that I wrote them in. So the first song is the first song I wrote, second song, right to the last song. Mm. And that, as I say, gives it that kind of threat.
Did you do the whole album in one studio, or
yes,
like many artists
studio.
Who kind of put it together as they tour and make an album in several locations? Studio?
No, I've always been a one studio.
One
girl.
Studio. loyal and faithful to her studio.
That's it. I've always been a one studio. So whichever, you know, I've recorded in Sweden, in Paris, in LA, wherever I've recorded, I just stay in that one studio.
Wow.
In England. So I don't like moving around because you want to get a flavor to the album. You want to get something that kind of holds together. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think when you move around, well, never having done it, I'm not sure, but I think if you move around too much, you're going to get different things, you know.
So the new album's called Not Too Far Away. How many albums is this now? I tried to count.
This is 21.
I couldn't keep up. I just was going page after page and saying, you know, I can't count all these. Yeah, 21
it's
albums.
21, yes.
Wow. And this is a career that spans at least four decades.
46 years.
Yeah. Wow. Bless your heart. Fantastic. And looking at...
I like bless your heart. That's just very sweet. Thank you.
No, it's amazing. You have touched so many lives and so many people in so many ways.
Yes.
And you've been nominated for 3 Grammys and a number of Brit Awards. You won an Ivor Novello Award, Lifetime Achievement Honors. You've been the top of the charts. Yes. You're one of the few artists. You're the only artist atop the blues charts, I guess, a female?
In England,
In
yes.
England. So you've just done so many different things. Does this ever get old to you? I mean, or... how do you feel every time you accomplish another wonderful accolade? Is it kind of old hat?
No, not at all. It feels really nice to have people enjoy what I'm doing. I'm loving how people are responding to this new album. Because if you didn't like what was happening, and if you thought, well, this is, you know, I expect it, I think you should probably get out of it. Because it's, that would mean you're a little bit jaded, I would think. So I absolutely love to get the different things. And I love if somebody says, I want to give you an award, what they're saying is, I really enjoy your work. Mm-hmm. And this is the way that we can show our appreciation for that. Mm. So it's the total opposite of an insult.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way, because there's a lot of artists who downplay it. They pretend it doesn't really mean a whole lot.
Oh.
You know, there are people you ask and they say, you know, it doesn't mean anything. You know, awards, I do it for myself. But I'm glad that you appreciate that other people appreciate you.
Yes.
And honor you.
Yes, of course you do. When you write, ultimately you are writing for yourself. There's no other way of writing. Mm-hmm. If I wrote and tried to please you and everybody else that was in that room, I wouldn't be very successful, because I don't know what you want and I don't know what they want. I don't know what two separate people want. So if I'm going to write trying to please everybody, then I'm writing by committee, and therefore we will never get anything written.
I read somewhere that you lost your first job because you played your guitar at work.
Yes.
Was that true?
It's true.
You had a job and you lost it because you were playing guitar on your breaks?
Well, the proper story for that is I would take my guitar to work and I would play it. But I was a typist. I was a typist in an office. And the boss of my boss had a daughter, and he asked me if I would teach her to play the guitar. And my boss wasn't very happy about about that. And it's kind of started from there. And that's why I was like,
a little jealousy in play. I got it. I'd love for people to play music here at work. I wish that would happen, that we'd have people bring in the guitar into play. Now, you play the sixth string and
12 string
as well.
And electric guitar and piano and bass and whatever. So everything you hear on the album is me.
Fantastic.
Yes. And I programmed the drums and I wrote the strings and everything.
And both your parents played musical instruments.
No.
I thought you got a piano from...
No. My mother bought a piano. She doesn't play anything.
Oh, she didn't play it.
No,
okay.
She didn't play anything. She's not with us anymore, but she didn't play anything. So she bought a piano just because she thought it was a great piece of furniture.
Oh.
Put it in the room.
Something to put the flowers
that's
on.
That's it. She just thought it was a nice piece of furniture, so she bought that. As soon as that came, I started to write songs. So I was probably about 14. And my father had a guitar that he didn't want me to touch, and I think that's why I wanted to play the guitar, and he would literally hide the guitar. So I saw a guitar in a pawn shop. I'm pretty sure you call it pawn shops.
Yes,
here
yes,
still.
Yes.
And it cost £3, and I said, can I have it? She said, no, we don't have the money, but if they would swap two strollers, you call them, we call them prams, if they would swap the two strollers, I could have the guitar, which is how I got my first guitar.
I'm amazed that you have the languages, you know, that you got all the terminology, because I lived in Hong Kong, which was British influenced, and when they said go put this in the boot, I was like, what?
Trunk.
Yeah, the trunk. Put this in the boot. I'm like, what? And then get in the queue, and I'm going, what?
Line up,
go to the lift. And I'm going,
elevator.
What? Yeah, exactly. So, but you know, in all your travels, I'm sure you've picked up, you know, quite a few languages. Do you speak other languages?
I speak a little bit of Italian.
Mm-hmm.
Not much, but. I speak enough to be able to do a show in Italian. I wouldn't boast about it.
Mm. Now, that's got to feel really, I don't know the word, gratifying, to be on stage in countries where they don't speak English, but they know your music and can sing your songs with you.
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, I remember the first time I went to Japan and people were singing Ruro. It was pretty cool.
That's great. We've got Joan Arbitrating in our studios. Let's listen to another song. This is another track off of the album Not Too Far Away. This one's called Invisible.
Invisible in brackets, Blue Light.
All right, here we go. This is Joan Arbitrating live on The Voice of America.
Yeah. What fears you have, you can overcome. Understand what you're running from is what you will leave behind. Don't remain invisible to me, 'cause I want you right now. Don't remain invisible to me, 'cause I want you right now. Please, let your blue light shine. 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 Let your blue light shine.
Border Crossings, and that's called Invisible. We have the very visible Joan Armatrading in our studios. The new album is called Not Too Far Away. I was listing the accolades, and the list is very, very long. The honors continue. You received an MBE from the Queen.
It was actually Prince Charles who gave me
Prince
the,
Charles.
The Queen is the person who gives out the honors, but when you physically go to get it, it'll either be the Queen or Prince William or Prince Charles. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a big fan, I should say, of Prince Charles. I think he does incredible work. I've been an ambassador for the Prince's Trust since 1983. And
have you performed at the annual concerts they do?
I was one of the first people when he started the Prince's Trust concerts. So,
wow.
And following from him, King Maswati in Swaziland did a King's concert, King's Trust for Swaziland. So I did a performance there for him as well. And Eric Clapton played there, that same bill. But the Prince's Trust, he does incredible work because he allows young people to get funds that they wouldn't be able to get from anywhere else to... like for instance, I knew one chap who actually works with me, who needed only £50 to get a sewing machine. He was a tailor, so he was given the £50 by the Prince's Trust, and I got him to make me some stuff.
Wow, very nice.
Yeah.
Did you go to the royal wedding, the recent wedding?
No,
you
no,
weren't.
No.
Oh, they should have had you there performing. You and Ed Sheeran and Elton John. And
yeah, I don't know the young princes.
Wow. Well, you know, I mean, you're obviously someone who comes from an area that many people never reach, never achieve. And you've toured the world. Is there a place you haven't played? I would guess you've been on stage in every country.
There's places that I haven't played.
Probably that's an easier list to, than where you have, because you've been everywhere.
Yeah, I've played loads of places. And I've enjoyed absolutely everywhere. Mm-hmm. I'm very often asked, where is my favorite place to play?
Yes, that was my next question.
Okay, I've just asked it for you. So my favorite place to play is here, is America.
Really? Why?
Because I love, I mean, all on it, all audiences are honest, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But I love the honesty of the American audiences because they, and I don't want anybody to be offended.
Right.
I love playing absolutely everywhere.
Yes, you're talking to 100 different countries right now.
Exactly. Everywhere I play, I absolutely love. Mm-hmm. But I love the American audiences because they're very vocal. When they're into something, they will whoop and wallow, and you know that something's happening.
Mm-hmm.
The English audience quite often can be reserved until the end, and you think, what happened there? Mm-hmm. but that, over the years, the English audience have become more vocal as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the American audiences, they're really kind of into it, and they'll move about on their seats, and they'll stand up, and they'll shout. Of course, there will be places that you'll go to in America where they're a little bit more reserved and a little more English, and then they'll get up at the end and mm-hmm. you think, what's happened there? But in general, American audiences are great. Mm. I've said this over the years, so if people are listening to me and they've heard me talk before, it's not a surprise
to
them.
Huh?
No, it's not a surprise to them.
Now, Japan audiences are very different. I lived in Japan, and they're very polite, very quiet, reserved.
Yes.
They applaud very quietly.
Yes.
They don't stand on the seats.
But they're still into it, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
oh, yes.
You have to appreciate, because I know sometimes I've been with band members who get quite frustrated if an audience isn't kind of moving around and isn't loud and shouting. But I don't, because I can appreciate over the years that they're just being themselves,
mm-hmm.
and they'll respond as they feel and as they feel honestly. And in the end, it's kind of the final thing that will tell you how they felt.
Right.
And you just have to wait for that. So when I do a performance, I just work with the audience and I generally just enjoy myself anyway. Mm-hmm.
So I know that, you know, America's your favorite place to play. I know you have a special love affair with South Africa, and you perform for the late Nelson Mandela several times.
Yes. South Africa is a special place in all aspects. It's a beautiful country, wonderful people, but they had a very special person as their president. And I don't think there's many people in the world who could respond to the situation that he was in the way that he did.
Right.
And be honest, I actually had somebody say to me once, you know, you've met him, do you think he was honest? Which
really?
Is like,
it's a strange question to ask.
What a strange question.
Yes, yes. He went through so many things.
Yes, there's no way you could not be honest and look the way he looked and respond the way he responded. You can't honestly respond the way he responded and have people go along with it, you know. And I went to his house. I was invited to his house. I was doing a concert in Johannesburg, and I got a phone call saying, would you like to come and meet Nelson Mandela? And I said, actually, no, I'm a bit busy. Forget about it.
Yeah, right. No, thank you.
Have him come
to me.
Of course I went. And I thought it would be, you know, a whole load of people and it would be a big affair. But when I got there, it was just the two of us. So we were in this room talking. And then he said, let's go into the garden. And I thought, okay, that's where everybody is. So we went into the garden, and it was still just the two of us.
Wow.
So it was really nice. Mm.
I was in South Africa. I rode the blue train. I loved, you know, the people are so
people
lovely.
People are great. Yeah.
Yes. You know, it's such a, with the things that people have experienced there, and to be as lovely and wonderful and loving and giving and caring, it's, you know, so I can relate to what you're saying. One thing I can't relate to.
Okay.
You're a marathon runner.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck made you decide, I want to run a marathon? Why not? I haven't accomplished enough. Now I'm going to run a marathon.
Yeah. Well, I in my youth, I was a little bit of a fanatic when it came to exercise and stuff like that. And I would do serious amount of walking and serious amount of riding, mountain bike riding. And I thought, well, it would be quite nice to do a marathon. So I tried to get into the London Marathon, but I wasn't able to. But I managed to get into the New York Marathon. So I would have been in 58, I think, at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I ran that, which was the most wonderful
You did
day.
That at 58?
Yes, I was 58
oh, my
when
goodness.
I did that.
So I had to say that again, because it wasn't 1958 you did it.
No,
you did it at
58.
Wow.
And so then I did that and raised 75 or 76,000 pounds, which was great.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
I mean, you give so much to the community. You're very active in charity. You help people out. Your music's been wonderful. You've touched so many lives. We're going to play another song. I assume we have another one ready to go. I don't know what it is, but I'm sure it's going to be wonderful, whatever the next song is. It's off the album Not Too Far Away. We're lucky to have Joan Armatrading in our studios. If you have a question that you want to ask to Joan Armatrading while she's in our studios, you can certainly call in 202-619-2077. It's not often we get to talk to a icon, a true music legend who's been doing this for many years, and 21 albums? Is that what you said? 21 albums is the new album, which is now available. It went on sale in May. So if you'd like to get a copy, please do buy it. We'll tell you exactly where you can get it. We'll talk with Joan in a minute. Let's check out another new song off the new album. Here's Joan Armatrading.
This pain is my protection. It tells me to run. This pain is what you gave, but it's making me strong, even though I can't define it. Does not mean that I'm confused. You taught me to
Border Crossings, and we have Joan Armour trading in our studios. The new album is Not Too Far Away, and we were listening to No More Pain from the new album. And off the air, we were talking about things that have changed. One of the things that you have been a part of change with is the internet, because when you started 46 years ago or so, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have the technology we have today. How has the change in technology impacted what you do?
Well, we didn't have the internet, but we always had change. So when I started writing, it was a question of just kind of writing, and then a little bit later it was writing and putting it on a cassette, and then it was writing and put it on my 2-track machine, and then my 4-track machine, then my 8-track machine, and then my 24-track machine. So I always kept up, and then when it became the computers, and I was there, so I was never playing catch up. I was always changing when it changed. So that's the good thing, and that's probably one of the reasons I'm able to do so much myself, because it would be quite unusual, I would think, and different if at the age of 67 I would suddenly know how to produce and and do all these things. So obviously I've been doing it for a long time. But the internet is fantastic, because what it does is allow young musicians to be able to put their music out themselves and connect to their fans directly, sell them music directly, things like that. The only thing that I think people have a little bit of a myth about is that you can do all of this and be incredibly famous. If you look at Shawn Mendes. Mm-hmm. If you look at somebody like him, who had loads of views and hits on YouTube and stuff like that. Or you look at
many of them have been discovered on the internet. Justin Bieber and many people.
Well, this is what I'm saying. They were discovered on that.
Yes.
But they weren't famous from that.
Right.
They might have had millions of hits and billions of hits.
Right.
But it was only when a record company or some serious management got involved that they became known in the way that we know them. So just having loads of hits actually doesn't make you famous. In some cases, it will bring people some money, because they get them from the advertising revenue that they generate. But you still, I think, this is just my personal opinion, you still need the people who know what they're doing in terms of marketing and letting people know probably who you are and where you are and how to buy your stuff and to actually buy it.
Yes, many careers were made and broken by hiring people who didn't do what they were supposed to do around the artist.
Yeah.
And you had mentioned...
We've all been there.
Yes, yeah, good times and bad times. And you mentioned, you know, the technology's changed via the internet. Selling music, buying music, has become different. It's harder to sell a CD now because everybody's buying songs on the internet.
Yes. I was in a shop, I think it was, I can't remember, Urban Outfitters or something like that, and they've had a big wall of vinyl, and a whole bunch of young guys were there buying the vinyl. So I asked them, why were they buying the vinyl? And they said, well, they really like the cover, they like the artwork, they love reading all the lyrics, they love the kind of physically holding this thing, but they listen to it on their MP3s or you know, they listen to it on their iPods or whatever.
Sign of a contradiction there.
Yeah.
I'm buying the vinyl for the photo on the cover, but I'm still listening to the digital version.
So the digital thing, just, it frees you up.
Right.
You're not going to take around a record player.
to the beach.
I don't think we'll ever go back to the era of millions of sales on vinyl.
So you're on tour this summer for the new album here in the United States, and then you continue around the rest of the world. You're constantly working, constantly touring.
Yeah.
21 albums, you're constantly reinventing yourself.
Constantly writing,
and you have to keep it relevant. What do you do when you get writer's block? Have you ever had writer's block?
No, I've never had writer's block.
You're lucky.
I've had songs that I've written that I think are absolute rubbish. That might be the equivalent of my writer's block. But what I do with writing is whatever I start, I must finish.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have loads of unfinished songs. I don't have any unfinished songs. If I write a song, I must finish it. And then when I finish it, then I decide, do I think this is good?
Mm-hmm.
And if I think it's good, it'll get on an album. If I think it's not good, then it'll go in the bin.
Hmm. Well, checking your bucket list on down, is there anything that you haven't done yet that you still want to do? Is there a style of music, an album you want to make, somebody you want to work with that you haven't yet done?
There's loads of things I want to do, but I tend to not say what that is because...
Come on, Joan.
No, I don't.
We're good friends.
No, we're not. No. I don't tell people what I want to do because, you know, I want to be able to do it. I don't want you to ask me every 2 minutes, have you done that yet?
Right. So I promise I won't do that.
Yeah, I know. I mean, even when I did my degree, I didn't tell anybody. I did an open university degree and got a BA honours in history. And I didn't even tell my family.
Wow.
Because I just wanted to get on with it and do it. And I didn't want people to say, how's that coming on now, you know?
Right.
So that's how I tend to be.
And you always like to do things on your own terms. That's kind of how you've been from the beginning, is this is how it's going to be. And this is, I'm not going to change who I am to for the industry.
Yeah. Yes, I think it's important. And I've been very lucky. People have kind of gone along with me.
Yes, well, you're loved everywhere. You are truly loved. Your music is loved, and your music has been heard in, I think, every part, every corner, every nook on the planet. So we thank you for coming on the show.
That's been my pleasure.
And to have you, to get to meet you and know you. I know you're very busy. You've got several other interviews here in Washington, D.C. while you're here. You're probably going to the White House, I'm assuming. But
I'm not going to
the White House. Well,
I might be passing the White House.
You can flash your MBE and say, I would like to, you know, come in there and have lunch. But I thank you for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
And and congratulations on the album, which is available on your website, I assume, as well as
yes,
iTunes, Amazon, everywhere.
You could get to it via my website.
Which is?
My name, joanarmatrading.com, www.joanarmatrading.com.
Well, thank you again for coming on the show. Tell me about, you know, Love and Affection. Everybody knows the song. It was on the, you know, charts. It was a song that was played on the radio quite frequently. What was going on when you put this song together?
Well, that song... just a while ago, you mentioned that people don't want to talk about certain things because I've no idea why.
No, just you.
But I know that a lot of people with the record that made them known don't want to play that song.
Mm.
I'm not like that. I like to play Love and Affection. I wrote it. It came out in 1976. I've played it at every single concert that I've done since then. I'm really happy to say I look forward to it just as much as the audience. And I think the people who say they don't want to play the song that made them known, in reality, they're saying, I wish I wasn't known.
Uh-huh.
I wish I wasn't famous, because if you don't want to play that song, that's really what I think you're saying.
Wow.
So I love the song.
I love the perspective. Thank you, Joan. You're so refreshing. It's wonderful to have you on the show. I really love your honesty.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for doing this. Not Too Far Away is the new album. We're going back. As Joan just mentioned, this was the song that put her on the map, that kind of started the whole journey for her. It's called Love and Affection on Border Crossings.
I am not in love, but I'm open to persuasion. East or west, where's the best for romancing with a friend? I can smile, but with a lover I could hold my head back. I could really dance. I could really move. Now if I can feel the sun in my eyes, in the rain on my face, why can't I? But I should just stick to those that I have got.
Small with the feeling, give me love.
Border Crossings, BB Rexha. And that's a song request from Mickey Mouse, who is in the House of the Mouse in Ghana, listening to 98.1 FM. That's called I Got You. BB Rexha has released a couple of songs. She had a big hit, which was number one on the country charts for a little while, with Florida Georgia Line. And she has a new album, her debut album called Expectations, which goes on sale June 22nd, just in a matter of days. Her real first name is Bleta, and in Albanian, that is Bumblebee. So that's how she got the BB. BB. Bleta means Bumblebee, apparently, in Albania, where her family's from. So thank you very much, Mickey Mouse, for that request. Also want to thank our guest today, Joan Armatrading. What a thrill to meet Joan Armatrading and to have a chance to get to know her and to hear the person that sang Love and Affection, which I remember listening to back in the 70s, and have her sitting here talking about it kind of was surreal. Interesting experience. But thank you, Joan, for coming on the show. Her new album is called, let's see, where is it? Not Too Far Away. So make sure you get a copy of the new album. I want to thank all the people who've checked in on our Facebook page so far who are listening to Border Crossings today. Thank you very much for going to Facebook.com. Vincent Maloba, Ephraim Marawi, Queen Louie, Michelle Owu, Miraf, Bedru, Amon Amarth. Heard from a lot of different people in a lot of different places who join us on Facebook.com/VOA Larry London. Karuna Kantapal, Ngamije Lamar, Salva is with us. Estefanos Alem Nebiat said hello as well. So thank you, everybody, for going to Facebook.com/VOA Larry London. Here is a request for an artist that just passed away tragically and suddenly in his early 20s. A triple X tensium. And this is Mandisa Mzobe's request for Sad.
Yeah. No eyes, I'm not afraid to let go. You decide if you're ever gonna let me know. Yeah, suicide if you ever try to let go. I'm sad, I know, yeah. I'm sad, I know, yeah. No eyes, I'm not afraid to let go. You decide if you're ever gonna let me know. Yeah, suicide if you ever try to let go. I'm sad, I know, yeah. I'm sad, I know, yeah. I gave her everything. She took my heart and left me lonely. I think broken hearts contagious. I won't fix, I'd rather weep. I'm lost and I'm found, but it's torture being in love. I love when you're around, but I fucking hate when you leave. No eyes, I'm not afraid to let go. Suicide if you ever gonna let me know. Yeah, suicide if you ever try to let go. I'm sad, I know, yeah. I'm sad, I know, yeah. No eyes, I'm not afraid to let go. You decide if you ever gonna let me know. Yeah, suicide if you ever try to let go. I'm sad, I know, yeah. I'm sad, I know, yeah. I'm not afraid to let go. You decide if you're ever gonna let me know. Yeah, suicide if you ever try to let go. I'm sad, I know, yeah. I'm sad, I know, yeah. No eyes, I'm not afraid to let go. You decide if you're ever gonna let me know. Yeah, suicide if you ever try to let go. I'm sad, I know, yeah. I'm sad, I know, yeah.
Hey, this is John Legend. You're listening to Larry London.
What would I do without your smart mouth? Drawing me in and you kicking me out. You've got my head spinning. No kidding. I can't pin you down.
down. What's going on in that beautiful mind? I'm on your magical mystery ride. And I'm so dizzy, don't know what hit me, but I'll be alright. My head's underwater, but I'm breathing fine. You're crazy and I'm out of my mind. 'Cause all of me loves all of you. Love your curves and all your edges, all your perfect imperfections. Give your all to me, I'll give my all to you. You're my end and my beginning, even when I lose, I'm winning. 'Cause I give you all of me, and you give me all of you. Oh, how many times do I have to tell you? Even when you're crying, you're beautiful too. The world is beating you down. I'm around through every mood. You're my downfall, you're my muse, my worst distraction, my rhythm and blues. I can't stop singing, it's ringing in my head for you. My head's underwater, but I'm breathing fine. You're crazy and I'm out of my mind. 'Cause all of me loves all of you. Love your curves and all your edges, all your perfect imperfections. Give your all to me, I'll give my all to you. You're my end and my beginning, even when I lose, I'm winning. 'Cause I give you all of me, and you give me all of you. All.
Give me all of you. Cards on the table, we're both showing hearts. Risking it, although it's hard. 'Cause all of me loves all of you. Love your curves and all your edges, all your perfect imperfections. Give your all to me, I'll give my all to you. You're my end and my beginning, even when I lose, I'm winning. 'Cause I give you all of me, and you give me all of you. I give you all of me, and you give me all of you. Oh.
Border Crossings, John Legend giving all of him to all of us. And that is a request from Malat, who said, I love your show in Ethiopia on Shagar FM 102.1. And that's one of John's biggest hits, All of Me. John married Chrissy Teigen, the Victoria's Secret supermodel, in 2013. They now have two kids. They have Luna, who's 2 years old, and Miles, who's just a few months old. And John Legend said, yes, Miles is named after Miles Davis. So they have a little boy and a little girl. Everybody's happy at home. And that's not the only new thing that John's created. John has also launched a new wine company called LVE. Wine. Because he loves wine. So he thought he'd make some wine with his name on it, his brand. And just about a week ago, he and his wife, Chrissy, and the whole family donated $72,000 to the ACLU American Civil Liberties Union. They're not very happy about what's been going on with the immigration border control here in the United States, so they wanted to make their statement known. Thank you very much for listening to Border Crossings. Appreciate all the requests. Again, thank you to Joan Armatrading. Get the new album, Not Too Far Away. We hope to have Joan on in the future, next time she's here in the U.S. Thank you, Wagner, our engineer, Vince, our director, and Felicia, our director. And also, we welcome Allie back. Allie was sick yesterday, so Allie's here as our executive intern producer, who's been helping put the show together as well. Thank you all for listening to Border Crossings. I'm Larry London. I'll see you tomorrow at 1500 Universal on the VOA 1 Music Network.
Join Larry on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Larry London.